welcome in, everybody. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast, this Tuesday edition of the show. Louis DiBiase joining you, as always, alongside my co-host, Gino Camilleri. Gino, we are 2 days away from the tune-up regular season game against the Baltimore Ravens, and this preseason's been kind of fun. We've seen guys like Deshaun Hall, Wreck Havoc, and Miles Sanders make some big splash plays, and, you know, Andre Dillard dominate, but I think it's pretty exciting. We're finally going to get to see a little more starting action on Thursday against a Ravens team that I'm pretty high on with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I think we both are. I think we identified that unit as one that is going to improve upon this year. I think bringing in Mark Ingram is a huge upgrade at the running back position.
Justice Hill, too?
Yeah, Justice Hill, who's been looking very good in camp from everything that I've been reading. Very good one-cut downhill directional runner who has blazing speed. What do you run, like low 4.4?
I think he ran the fastest 40 time for running backs.
Yeah, I think he ran a 4.4 flat, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, he's been looking really good, and I think this will be a good test. I think this Ravens team is a team that you're going to see a lot of teams play this style of offense. They're going to see Dallas run it twice almost. You have Dak Prescott, who's a very mobile quarterback. Who's a better test than Lamar Jackson, who is compared to Michael Vick at times in his athleticism. So to get into this first team against first team, it's going to be huge. And I like what I heard out of the couple days that they had joint practices. I think that's something that a lot of coaches are saying they're going to continue to go down that outlet as maybe a substitute to some preseason games I've heard whispers of, but I don't mind that at all because it's good to, after a few weeks of camp, after a long summer, to hit somebody else in a different jersey. I know it's super cliche, but it's true. It's like you're almost going through the motions at this point in camp, and it's good to see somebody else lined up against you, and it's good to see guys like Sidney Jones out there making plays. I read about today he had a good pass breakup. Carson Wentz throwing some absolute gems. So it's good to see stuff like that happen because the Ravens are a good team. By all stretches of the imagination, they improved in some big areas. You bring in Earl Thomas, you bring in Mark Ingram, you have another year of Lamar Jackson under his belt. I like the direction that Baltimore is heading in. I think they're going to be able to compete in the AFC and fight for a playoff spot, much like they did last year.
Yeah, there's always a few teams that I like get really into each year that aren't the Eagles, and Baltimore is definitely one of those, because I've been a big Lamar guy really since the beginning years of Louisville, and it's been a good test, like you said, for the first these two joint practices. Today was that final joint practice. It was the last practice open to the media, so it kind of concludes. Training camp technically ended last week, but it really ends the training camp kind of schedule, and with joint practices, you're right. Coaches, teams seem like they really want to go in this direction because it still gets you kind of ready for game action, although don't tell that to Alshon Jeffrey. Alshon Jeffrey's not about anything but regular season football.
He's all about that action.
He really is. I love that response by Alshon because it reminded me so much of the Super Bowl week during the final media day where he was just so over it. And he's like,
can we go back? I don't think people talk enough about this, that when he was with Chicago, he said that he was going to win the Super Bowl the following year, and he went on and did it. Although it wasn't in Chicago, he did it in Philly.
Yeah,
I don't think that is like a prophecy that we don't talk about enough, because that is a hell of a call by Alshon, and he's about that action, man. And I think he's poised for a very big season, and I think a lot of people that had this Carson doesn't throw to Alshon narrative under their belt can really be put to rest, because if you see some of the passes that Carson has been making to him and read the reports from a lot of the beat writers who've been covering it day in and day out, you see that their connection is as sharp as ever, and that's huge. And especially to bring in a guy like Josh McCown to back up Carson will only instill more confidence in Alshon, because he's been around Josh before, and it's going to only improve that connection they have between the quarterbacks and wide receivers. And I think those two moves, bringing Alshon here and then bringing in Josh McCown, a guy who's played with him a few years later, are absolutely genius moves.
Yeah, and you look at how he's been able to thrive the past 2 days against, it's been great work, whether he does, whether he believes it or not, because that Baltimore Ravens secondary is really good. So it's the preseason, of course, there's a much bigger risk because there's just, it's game speed is higher than even joint practice speed. So you can have injuries like the one to Cody Kessler, where he misses the free rusher on his blind side and he gets hit, and now he's in concussion protocol. Whereas the practices, you still get a little taste. You knock off the rust a little bit with contact and, like you said, hitting somebody else. but at the same time, there are less risks than the preseason. So I like the idea of more joint practices and reducing the preseason. I think we've all been calling for the preseason to be reduced for decades now at this point. But let me ask you, considering Thursday, the week three game is normally considered the tune-up regular season game. But at the same time, you look at the NFL this year and how teams have really kind of punted on the preseason more so than ever. How much do you want to see starters play, and how much do you think you'll see the likes of Carson Wentz and the majority of these starters? I would say maybe a drive or two, but even for a week three preseason game, I don't expect Doug to play these guys a whole lot.
Yeah, I've kind of shifted how I view the preseason. I used to think this third preseason game was like the end-all be-all for how your season was going to go. But then a couple years ago, I saw Sam Bradford act like he was a Hall of Fame quarterback in this third preseason game, and he scarred it. Yeah, you hit it right on the head there. But no, I think this third preseason game is very important because you're gonna want to fill in those starter holes. Where are the couple positions that, hey, maybe it's a competition like at linebacker, who's going to be your nickel corner? Those are things that you're going to want to see. But I look at this game as your final tryout for these depth guys. Week four, you're going into the season. You don't want anybody to get banged up. You're signing guys from the Arena League now that the season's over. The Eagles have done that a couple seasons in a row, signing some guys from the Philadelphia Soul to come in and play that last preseason game. But game three, I say that the preseason is the most important factor in determining how your season is going to go depth-wise. I think it's great that the Eagles performed pretty well in the prior two preseason games because it goes to show you that your depth, like guys like DeShaun Hall and Josh Sweat and your Jonathan Cyprians and your backup offensive linemen, the entire gamut of those guys that you have, are going to be able to step in and play some meaningful minutes if need be, because depth wins championships, Lou, and this is where the depth is made. Whether it's bringing in guys like Cravon LeBlanc last season off of waivers to get them in here for a full camp, even though he did get hurt, or guys like DeShaun Hall just taking chances and identifying depth guys. You're just trying to find those little incremental increases in talent on your roster, and this is where you find it out. Because right now you're finding out the guys that are going to be reliable for you and the guys who aren't, and you've seen that happen. You see Braxton Miller, he's gone. He couldn't stay healthy for a lot of the time he was here. Paul Warlow, he didn't get his chance. But now you're seeing guys like LJ Fort come out. You're seeing guys like Greg Ward come out. These guys that are reliable depth players are going to come out in this third preseason game, and I really want to see those second and third string guys excel again, much like they did last week.
The depth, again, is huge. We've seen it the past 2 years with the Eagles and injuries. But at the same time, we do hope this team is at full strength, because when it is at full strength, it's one of the best teams in the NFL. And we're getting closer. Ronald Darby practiced the past 2 days against Baltimore. It was 7-on-7s and 1-on-1s on Monday. Today, he took that next step. He is practicing 11-on-11s. He is with the first team opposite Rasul Douglas, and Sidney Jones have been interchanging on the other side, on the left side at corner, and then Avonte Maddox in the slot. Brandon Brooks also participated in some drills, which is absolutely incredible that he is participating.
Dude, he's
in,
Iron Man.
Yeah,
he's
in Iron. One-on-ones. Like, coming, he's, what, 7-8 months now removed from a torn Achilles, and he's optimistic he might play week one. He's one of the most underrated players in the NFL. I think he's been the best right guard the past 3 years, but now the fact that he's coming back from an Achilles injury for a guy that big is so impressive.
I absolutely agree. It's just truly remarkable that once was a 12 to 14 month recovery is now in one of the most aggressive sports and one of the sports that takes the biggest toll on your body. This guy is going to come back after 7 months. It's truly remarkable in my eyes. And a guy who is 300 some odd pounds and his build, that is truly remarkable. But we saw what happened last season when we rushed somebody back that shouldn't have been rushed back in Carson Wentz. So let's not do it again with Brandon Brooks. Yes,
Big
he may
want. Big V has looked really good at right guard.
He took the
past
words right out of my mouth. I have no qualms against the idea of Big V playing 1 to 2 games early on in the season. I don't think that is the worst thing in the world, and he's looked pretty decent doing it in the preseason. And hey, even if Big V doesn't work out, I like what I've seen so far out of guys like Pryor. If without the penalties,
right,
Pryor has done pretty well in blocking. But like you said, Lou, don't rush Brooks back because, man, Big V can get he could step in and play meaningful minutes, and it's not like you're going to go out there and play the best team in the world week one against the Redskins. Like, let Brooks get his time to come back and be 100% healthy, because he is one of the biggest cogs in the machine for this team. Just look at the amount of sacks he's given up the last couple years. He's exactly what you want defending Carson Wentz coming off of a season where he had a knee injury and a back injury. He's a guy that's going to keep Carson upright. So as long as he is upright and on the field and he's healthy, that's exactly what I want from Brandon Brooks. But it is great to see that he is recovering this well this early on, because it is a good sign that he will be a lot, or he will be back a lot earlier than we expected.
Another player that has been in the injury news now for almost a year, actually. Yeah, it's going to get to a year eventually. But at the same time, who knows? Because Doug Peterson today, when talking about Jalen Mills, said they are hopeful that they could get Mills back by the start of the regular season. It is still up in the air. They have no idea. Again, the Eagles are not very open with medical information. And with Jalen Mills, too, it's been one of the weirdest, strangest injuries. With the, it's a Liz Frank injury, right, Gino?
Yeah, it's one of those weird ongoing foot injuries, that's for sure.
Yeah, those are tough to come back from, for sure. And with Mills, it's very interesting. Let's see what happens when he does come back, because I was skeptical during the CB Wars podcast that Darby and Mills would not have to fight for their spots when they come back. Mm-hmm. Darby seemingly is not going to have to. Let's see what happens when Mills comes back now. I don't think he'll start based on how well Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones have looked over the summer, but it is Jim Schwartz. If Jalen Mills comes back the first couple weeks of the season, I am curious to see what they do here at left corner.
Yeah, Jalen Mills is another guy that you could have added to my list of injured guys that have allowed other players to step up. And I want to go back and retract my Braxton Miller statement. I meant to say Mac Hollins. I just had Braxton Miller in my head because they cut him yesterday. Yeah. And my lifelong dream of seeing him throw a pass in an Eagles uniform is out the window now. Shit. But moving on back to Jalen Mills, yeah, Lou, I think we both agree on this point that we don't want Jalen Mills to just come back and be handed a spot. And frankly, if he doesn't step foot on the field again, am I going to lose sleep over it? Probably not. I'm totally cool with seeing Darby go out there in a contract year, go out there and prove his worth, and see guys like Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones step up, because the summer that Sidney has been having is everything I expected him to be when he came out of Washington. And if now, after this up and down couple of years with injuries, if he can finally get it together and have it pay off, this patience that this organization has put into him and put into the development in Rasul Douglas as well, man, that draft class is going to be looking really good if those guys are starting multiple games for you this season, coupled with Derek Barnett.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. When we come back, me and Gino have two things each that we want to see return to the Eagles on the field in 2019. That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. And guys, for fantasy football players out there, make sure you listen to Vinny Lyer and Locked On Fantasy Football. Vinny gives you the edge with over 20 years of covering fantasy football. Don't listen to the same stuff as everyone else. Then you're the same. Get the edge, win the chip from Vinny that will put you ahead on draft day and put you ahead all season long. It's Locked On Fantasy Football on your favorite podcast provider. Today's podcast is sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, this isn't just for all of you out there who can't perform. It's for anyone who wants that extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Listen up. It's Blue Chew. Blue like the color blue. It's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So there's no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, none of that awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our Locked On Eagles listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment for free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's B-L-U-E, BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. All right, everybody, we are back. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast Tuesday, August 20th, 2 days away from the Eagles and Baltimore Ravens, hitting Lincoln Financial Field at 7:30 kickoff. We'll have a preview of that tomorrow. Looking for a crossover edition with Locked On Ravens on Thursday, so be on alert. Again, 4 to 5 podcasts a week right here on Locked On Eagles and LockedOnEagles.com. So as I teased before the break, me and Gino are going to get into here the next two segments, two things each that we want to see return to the Eagles on the field in 2019. Gino, what's the first thing? Because in 2018, while they were able to recover, get to 9-7, make the playoffs, there were some things missing from recent years that made them, again, a Super Bowl champion in 2017. What's one thing you hope to see return on the field in 2019, whether it's offense, defense, or special teams?
Well, I'll throw you for a loop, and I'll just say healthy football players. You cannot have a 2018-esque season where you are the 31st most injured team in the NFL. It just can't happen. They were lucky enough to have that depth that we talk about so often to get them almost into the NFC Championship game. Now, just imagine if it's 2017 and you don't lose Jason Peters and you still have Carson Wentz and you don't lose Darren Sproles. Add in DeSean Jackson. Add in J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Add in Miles Sanders. Add in an improved defense. And just imagine how great this unit, this overall unit of this Philadelphia Eagles team in 2019 can be if they live up to expectations. Because if they have everybody on the field and they're not playing guys like Josh Hawkins in important minutes in the playoffs, this team is going to be looking good. But you need Carson out there. You need their offensive line healthy. You don't want your depth at cornerback or on the defensive line to take a hit. Just please, I am hoping that they can stay healthy and they're not bitten by the injury bug like they were last year, because a healthy Eagles team is one of the best rosters in the NFL, if not the best on paper, and is going to transfer that over to the field.
I'm glad you brought up injuries again, because for me, the first thing I want to see come back to the field, I think, was removed last year as the year got further and further because of Carson Wentz's back injury, and it's the Wentz to Alshon Jeffrey connection down the field, which, as you talked about in the first segment, we have seen repeatedly in these joint practices with the Baltimore Ravens. He caught a pass perfectly contested in the right, in the left corner of the red zone today, and then yesterday he made the play of the day, Wentz throwing in double coverage perfectly to Alshon Jeffrey, who goes up and gets it over Earl Thomas, one of the best safeties in the league. And that connection is something I want to see come back in 2019, because some people think that, again, there was this narrative last year that formed that Carson Wentz only likes targeting Zach Ertz. And while it was true that Ertz was getting the majority of touches in the passing game throughout the middle of the year, a lot of it for me had to do with, and we've talked about it before,
Alshon was still getting six catches a game, though.
Right.
Like, we can't even that up. Like,
but,
that's,
but for me,
people forget that.
Yeah, for sure. But I think one thing that happened as Wentz's back injury got worse and worse is the connection down the field is something you didn't see.
Oh,
Alshon
absolutely.
Was still involved in the intermediate level, but I feel like it was just kind of crossers over the middle. It wasn't the kind of plays that have made Alshon so crucial to what was the turnaround of the season last year down the stretch when Nick Foles came in. And also, at the beginning of the year when him and Wentz returned to the field, and in 2017, I feel like their connection got better and better. I thought their chemistry continued to grow from 2017 up until the injury last year, because you looked at Carson Wentz, and one thing I thought he got a lot better at last year was accuracy on touch throws down the field. And you saw that against the Titans. You saw that against the Giants, against the Panthers. The first, I would say, month of the year where Wentz and Alshon were together, they were clicking down the field. In those first four games they were together, Gino, they had four touchdowns, a 105-yard game, a 74-yard game, and an 88-yard game. In 2017, they only had two touchdowns in the first 7 weeks versus six in the last six. So to me, you got to give Alshon chances down the field, even when he's covered, like Wentz has done in the past. Some people think it's just never happened, and they think it's only been Foles that has utilized Alshon. And to me, it's just not true. It was just very difficult for Wentz, I think, to push the ball down the field the more and more the year went on because of the back. And I just think they're a better offense when Alshon was heavily involved. And again, he was instrumental in their turnaround last year. You look at the Rams game, you look at the Texans game, the Redskins game, and the two playoff games too, the Bears and the Saints. He had over 60 yards receiving in both of those. So it's instrumental to keep Alshon involved in this offense, even with all the weapons. And I'm glad to see that Wentz and Jeffrey are getting back on that rapport down the field.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot played into last season. Coupled with the back injury, you didn't have this take off the top element in Torrey Smith that you had last year.
Right.
Mike Wallace, unfortunately, goes down against the Bucs. He's out for the entire year. Now you bring in DeSean Jackson. Those intermediate, those 15 to 20 yard areas where hey, you could bring down a safety last season because you had no threat of somebody taking over the top. Those are going to be open again for Alshon. That's where he thrives, is in those 12 to 20 yard areas. And when he has somebody like Deshaun who could clear out the safeties and open up one-on-one in man coverage or even zone coverage where he can excel in, you're going to see that connection light up again this year. And I think Carson's ability to be healthy, have that confidence in his legs, because that's a lot to it. When you're trying to get the ball downfield, a lot of that is motion. And if you can't plant on your leg and you don't trust your back to place that ball, you're not going to take shots downfield. Exactly. You're going to play it safe and give it to Zach Ertz, much like he did a lot of last season. So Deshaun Jackson coupled with a healthy Carson Wentz should equal a good season for Alshon Jeffrey.
100%. And even with the Josh McCown signing, you know, I went back and just watched that the 2013 year where McCown threw 13 touchdowns and one pick. And I watched his connection with Alshon.
The Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey offense?
Yeah, which was incredible. The twin towers on the outsides. And the throws that McCown was making to Alshon, the crazy circus-like catches that Jeffrey has made in Chicago and in Philadelphia, when he is covered, he's not covered. You got to continue to give him chances down the field like they have. He's just such – again, I think Alshon is just one of the more – unsung, and like much like Brandon Brooks, he has been so instrumental to what the Eagles have been able to build the past 2 years, and I hope that Wentz and Jeffrey can continue to grow that chemistry, because I think to start it was a little off. Wentz had to, you know, get used to throwing to a guy like that. We thought it was going to be DGB. Turns out that was a disaster. So I think in year three of that connection, I think we're going to see really big things.
I agree 100%, Lou, and I'm glad that you mentioned the timing and the touch on the passes coming from Josh McCown in that game, because Alshon is a guy, like you said, who if he is not open, he's still open because he can separate when it matters. And a guy who I see who plays a lot like that is J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Now take both of those guys with Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert and put them in the red zone. My number three choice that I wasn't going to include in the top two was the touch corner pass to the back of the end zone and just giving your corner, your receiver the ability to go up and make 100%. A play. And I think now with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, now with Alshon Jeffrey, you're going to create a lot of mismatches where you can put guys in the slot that are 6'2" and 6'3" matched up against some slot corners that, hey, they're not the tallest guys in the world. Let them go up there and get it. And a lot of that has to do with the timing. Like you mentioned, I think that's a great point because I think they're going to try and take that red zone offense and put it over the top. And you're going to now be able to do that where you're not going to have to rely on Nelson Agholor beating a guy off the line trying to create separation in a five-yard area when you have a guy like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who's one of the best jump ball catchers coming out of college and now in an offense with Carson Wentz, with a guy who can put it on a silver platter for a guy like that. It's going to be great to see, and I hope he develops that Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady-esque timing as he continues through his career.
All right, we got to get something straight here. We got to figure out what we're going to do throughout the year. Is it J.J. Arcega-Whiteside or is it J.J. Arcega-Whiteside?
Dude, I kind of been falling in love with Arcega-Whiteside.
So do I.
I think it just like makes it's the king Spanish.
And yeah.
He's going to be the king of Philly soon enough, man. I'm telling you, when you go back and watch that 2013 Bears team, take out Brandon Marshall, put in J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, I see those guys working wonders the next couple of years.
All right, so are we going Arcega for the year? Are we going Arcega? I mean, Arcega.
Whatever comes out. Whatever comes out. I'm not going to punish you either way, but Arcega. Hey, if he makes a great play and he's the king for the day, we'll call him Arcega. When he's the GOAT, he could be Arcega.
All right, perfect. Yeah, that'll be his nickname because everybody's been looking to find his nickname. It's this year's version of Corey Clement versus Corey – or no, I'm sorry. It's Corey – I used to say, and a lot of people would say, Corey Clement, and now it's really just Corey Clement. And I feel like that's the new name dispute this year is Arcega versus Arcega. But I like that. When he's a baller, we'll call him Arcega. And then just in casual terms, we'll go with Arcega.
Love it.
All right. Let's take a quick break right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. When we come back, me and Gino have one more thing each we want to see return to the Eagles in 2019. And guys, if you're into just – look, the Eagles, they're our heart, they're our soul, they're our life. But if you're into the NFL as much as me and Gino are, just in general, the league itself, the draft, rookies, keeping up in fantasy football, you got to check out the new Locked On NFL podcast. Last week, it was one of the most listened to NFL shows with the expert analysis of former NFL scout Matt Williamson and hosted by Brian Peacock. Locked On NFL is your daily national podcast on all things NFL with Matt's unique take on the game. Follow Locked On NFL now on your favorite podcast provider. We'll be right back. This is Locked On Eagles. Today's podcast is sponsored by Postmates. When you need red wine at 4 p.m., sushi at 9 p.m., a breakfast burrito at 8 a.m. and ibuprofen at 10, Postmate it. Postmates is your personal food delivery, grocery delivery, whatever kind of delivery service all year round. Anything you're craving, Postmates can deliver. They're the largest on-demand network in the U.S. and offer delivery from all the restaurants, grocery, and convenience stores and traditional retailers you could possibly want or need. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, Postmates will bring you what you need within the hour. No more trips to the store. You don't even have to know where the store is. Postmates will deliver anything to you. Download the app for iOS or Android for free. Browse local restaurants and businesses and track your delivery in real time. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our Locked On Eagles listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use the promo code Locked On. That's promo code Locked On, LOCKEDON, for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need, Postmate it. Download Postmates and save with the promo code Locked On. All right, to Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri, we are wrapping up the show. We got into one thing each we want to see return to the field for the Eagles this year. We got two more here each. Gino, let's start with you. You wanted a healthy Eagles roster in 2019 to take them to Miami in February. What's another thing you want to see come back for the Eagles in 2019?
Yeah, this is one of those elements that kind of fell away from them in 2018. Just things weren't going the right way. They took a lot of gambles at that position, and some of them didn't pay off for a differing amount of reasons, and that is have not a great, not an excellent, just a good running back by committee and a reliable running back by committee. In 2017, when they added Jay Ajayi to that already pretty good twosome of LeGarrette Blount and Corey Clement, we'll get there that straight, when Darren Sproles went out, you still had a very good punch that you could throw with each of them. Corey Clement always has been and always will be the change-up punch. He's a guy who can, he's good at a lot of different things, and he can do a lot of different things, which is what you need for an RB3 in your offense. LeGarrette Blount, you gave him the football, you needed 3 yards, he was going to get you 5 yards. You needed a couple yards, he was going to break off a long run. It was just kind of how LeGarrette worked. And then you had Jay Ajayi. He was that game-breaker element. You saw it in that very first game he played against Dallas. He had that long 70-some-odd-yard run. Fast forward to 2018. Ajayi goes down with injury. Corey Clement inevitably goes down with injury after he had an up-and-down season. You're now left with Josh Adams and Wendell Smallwood to carry you the rest of the way through the playoffs. I just like to look at the one play that I think kind of solidified the overall identity of the 2018 Eagles, and it's when Carson Wentz, it's third down, you're in the red zone, you have Corey Clement wide out to your left, and you decide to take a shot for the end zone. He didn't rely, and he didn't believe in his running back by committee core last year. He did in 2017, and Nick Foles did it in 2017 as well. Now you bring in Miles Sanders, you have Darren Sproles trying one more time to win a Super Bowl ring. You have Jordan Howard in a contract year coming off of 3 seasons, 2 of which he hit 1,000 yards, and 1 he was just under 100 yards short of 1,000 yards. And you once again have Corey Clement, and take your pick if you want to keep 5 running backs. Boston Scott has looked very good in this preseason. You can't take away what he's done in the running game for a guy of his size. Josh Adams hasn't looked bad himself, and then Wendell Smallwood is a guy who just keeps surviving every season. When he thinks he's going to be gone, he inevitably just ends up on the roster when nobody really wants him there.
Right.
But what they have done have brought back this element that made them go in 2017. We're not going to say that you have to sit here and establish the run, because there are all sorts of analytics that say you don't need to establish the run, and the passing game is the way to go. But when it is third down and 1, and you need a single yard, You can't have a season of Josh Adams who went 0-for in those exact situations. You need a situation where you have a Jay Ajayi-esque, a LeGarrette Blount-esque, a guy who can get you those yards, and I firmly believe they have that in Jordan Howard, a guy who can be a playmaker, which they haven't had since the days of LeSean McCoy and Miles Sanders. He's a guy that you just see it in this offense, has that one-cut directional ability and that game-break ability to get to the second level and hit home runs. You've seen it in his limited action so far in the preseason. You have that changeup in Corey Clement. It just speaks for itself, and Darren Sproles is the ultimate chess piece. This is the type of running back core that the Eagles wanted. It's exactly what I wanted them to have. And I always said they're not going to have a 1,000-yard rusher if they win a Super Bowl. They did it in 2017, and I don't think they'll ever have a 1,000-yard rusher again unless they all of a sudden decide to change the running back by committee mantra and go with a superstar back. I just don't see it. But I think all of these guys have the ability to have excellent seasons in their own right.
Yeah, for sure. I think everybody knows that I'm someone that's pro feature back with other guys sprinkled in more so than committee. But at the same time, me and you all year were just calling for talent. Like at that point, yeah, sure. I want one guy to stick out more so than the others to get the lead amount of work, just because that means that he is clearly better than the rest. And that's what I hope Miles Sanders does become eventually. But at the same time, we were just saying, God, get us someone in there that if the passing game is struggling, he can make some plays. And you had that committee in 2017, like you said, with Ajayi, Blount, and Clement, and you did not have that last year. And also what you have this year is a return of the receiving backs, Sanders, Sproles, Clement. There has been a lot of talk about 12 personnel and how impactful tight ends have become in the passing game, but the NFL has also gone towards running backs being super, super dangerous. Like, there's always been prototypical receiving
that is something
running
that
backs.
People need to learn very quick.
But you look
running
around
backs
the league
in the
now,
receiving game.
100%. Running backs in the receiving game is something as utilized as 12 personnel. When you look at, I mean, McCaffrey has almost 200 catches in the past 2 years in Carolina. James White last year had like 87 catches.
Why do you
Patriots.
Think they wanted McCaffrey so bad that
yeah,
year? For that exact reason.
And you look at Alvin Kamara, David Johnson lines up as receiver half the time in Arizona, and I imagine that's going to continue with Cliff Kingsbury. That's the way the NFL is going with running backs now. They're becoming weapons much like tight ends now are, not just traditional running backs. So I'm with you, man. I'm glad that they have that high quality talent right now in the backfield. You got four guys that can legitimately play at the NFL level. One thing, you talked about Clement, you talked about Sanders, you mentioned Sproles. My last thing I want to see return to the Eagles in 2019 are return touchdowns. They have not had one, correct me if I'm wrong, Wendell Smallwood against the Redskins 2016, right? That was the last one? I'm almost positive. They have
pretty
not had
sure.
one.
Yeah, they've I had mean, some defensive touchdowns, yeah. but not a return touchdown. Yeah, I think you're correct.
Kenyon Barner was pretty efficient in 2017, but he did not have one, and Sproles was hurt. Last year, kind of the same
Huff
thing.
Huff had one the year before, if I'm not mistaken, in 2015. Yeah.
Oh, before that, they were getting them every single year. 2014, they were nailing them.
Sproles was on fire that year.
Right, and then even before that, the DeSean Jackson days, you were taking one to the house seemingly every year before they pulled him from that. That's something I want to see come back this year because, look, hopefully the offense doesn't start off as slow as they did last year. Hopefully the defense continues to be as strong as they've been in recent years if they're healthy. But we look at the 2014 season when the offense kind of sometimes would be shaky in Nick Foles' second year as the guy. And what happened that year, why they were able to start off so hot, they were, what, 5-1 in the first 6 weeks, was because their special teams, they were getting blocked. Of course, like we're talking about returns here, but Trey Burton was blocking punts. They were taking them to the house with kickoff returns and punt returns. That's something I want to see come back this year, and I think they have the talent to do it. You have two of the best returners of all time at punt returner in Darren Sproles and DeSean Jackson, and then a kick returner right now. Looks like it's going to be Miles Sanders and Corey Clement. Clement is really good on special teams, and in the kickoff return game, I thought he was pretty good last year when he got opportunities to take it out of the end zone. And I think Sanders, obviously, with his vision and his elusiveness in the open field and his contact balance, that's going to be a solid duo there. They're going to have chances this year to take him to the house, both in kickoffs and punt returns. So I would really like to see that come back as a asset for the Eagles this year.
Absolutely. I think Sanders, I said it in my speech on running backs, he has that game break ability. I kind of, when I watched Ronald Jones in college, you would see him in those Pac-12 games just hit the open field and then just excel just like to another level. And I see that in Miles Sanders when he's playing. Like once he gets to that second level, he can just excel. I don't know why Ronald Jones came to mind, but I just remember a very distinct play that came
to
mind.
Let's hope it doesn't happen on the pro level with Ronald Jones. Yeah,
Miles Sanders has looked much more efficient in his time in the preseason than Ronald Jones has in his entire two years in the NFL. But Corey Clement, a lot of people around the organization are saying he is looking very rejuvenated these past couple days, and he is getting back to that 2017 Corey Clement, that Corey Clement that we said was patient, decisive. He had the quickness. He had the elusiveness. That's what you want from him, because if he can be a downhill directional runner, he gets those extra yards, Lou. Even if he's hit at the 22, I feel like you're going to pound out a couple other yards, get to the 25, 26. He's a guy that can do that, put his head down. He's not a small guy by any stretch of the imagination. If you get back to the health that he had in 2017 and you put him in and let him get in the open field, I absolutely can see him being the guy to take it over. And Miles Sanders, the exact same thing. Both of those guys have that element, because right now I can't justify them keeping Boston Scott. I can't justify it just because I don't see them keeping five running backs. It just seems absurd to me. And the return elements in DeSean Jackson and Darren Sproles have evaporated as their careers have gone on, and you only really want to use those guys in emergency situations. So, hey, let the young backs go out there. Let them go and use their vision that both of them have so well, and hopefully get us some better field position, because I don't want to be starting inside the 20s a lot like we did last season and put ourselves in a disadvantageous position to start on offense.
Careful, Gino, talking up Clement so much. Darren Sproles might block you on Twitter.
Yeah, you're never going to live that one down.
No, it's just, again, like we talk, Clement's looking good, Sanders is looking good. I just, Sproles is going to help out the Eagles this year, but I feel like
It's third down and four, and they go to an option route where he's on a linebacker, an inside linebacker with very tight hips, and he just wins it plainly, and then the very next shot they take a shot to DeSean Jackson, you're not going to be complaining.
No,
they just need
to
get the first downs and keep the ball moving, and that's what they have, and they have that on offense, because you're not going to see Wendell Smallwood fail to recognize a hole anymore. You're going to see Miles Sanders find those holes. You're going to see Jordan Howard put his head down and gain those extra yards, which Josh Adams couldn't get last year. It's going to be a completely rejuvenated offense, which is crazy to say because their offense was still pretty good last season.
100%. And look, I said it then. Sproles is a very talented player that's going to help out the team. It was never about Sproles. That's why I was making a joke. It was more so I'm just talking to Miles Sanders, but props to Sproles, man. He's blocking out the haters this year, so hopefully that turns out a good showing in 2019. All right, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri signing off. Please subscribe to the show if you would. Then you'll get 4 to 5 episodes a week downloaded into your phone or on lockedoneagles.com, and the conversation always continues. Me and Gino live, eat, breathe, sleep Philadelphia Eagles football on Twitter at DiBiaseLOE and at Gino_LOE, and our show page is at Locked On Birds. All right, that's going to do it for my co-host Gino Camilleri. I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.